Welcome to We the People Radio. This is our second hour. We're here on May 5th, 2019, and the original airing. Who knows when we'll play it again for you. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Team Power, our local John Deere tractor dealer in Shasta Lake City. They're located just south of Phil's Propeller up on Twin View Boulevard, 3119 Twin View Boulevard. And their phone number is 226-9226. Give them a call if you need a tractor, need service, need parts, anything John Deere, they can help you with that. And you can also get them on the web at readingtractors.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
All right. You can find everything about the show, information on sponsorship, archives going back like 10 years. You can find all that at wethepeopleradio.us. And we have all the information about our guests, and we'll have the commercial-free archive of the program up here this afternoon. Always useful if you send it. I hate to promote sending it through Facebook. They have been such bad players of late. I don't know. I vacillate. Kill the Facebook account. Keep it. Kill it. Keep it. I don't know. I'm just not using it. That's where I've landed. I just let it sit there.
Well, they're using you though.
I know. Yeah. I give them no information, so actually I'm not really all that useful, and I don't take pictures of my food, so
yeah.
I'm depriving them of that.
Oh, there you go.
I think that's what
I don't know what you eat. That's
so
great.
People are posting all the time. So you can shoot the program around to your friends and family through email if you'd like. Just cut the link and send it to them. We'd be happy to have their listenership, and we'd be happy to smarten them up on some of these issues. Our email addresses and phone numbers are right on the website, and you can send us ideas. And if you don't like the show, you know, pretty much just don't listen.
Yeah.
That's how we solve that problem.
It's kind of like term limits.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't vote for them if you don't like them.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Problem solved. Oh, my gosh. So our guests today come from two different places. We've got one in Chicago. We've got Bruce Moran. He's with Security Solutions Technology. He is their national security advisor. So he does a lot of interaction with, well, I guess they both do, actually, with the White House and all information going back and forth on these various issues. Today we're talking about border security and the asylum rules and all of that. Our other guest comes from Sentinel Intelligence Services. That is Dr. Lyle Rapacki. He is in Texas and was in Arizona for such a long time. I have such a hard time remembering that he's in Texas. That kind of screws everything up. But we've got a ton of information posted for you and a lot of releases from the White House that we're obviously not going to read to you in the program, but you may want to go and read them. Also, I didn't mention this in the first hour. Let me scroll down. Human smuggling and associated revenues. What we can know about the routes from Central America to the United States. There's a really good PDF document on the webpage for today about all of that and giving you a tremendous amount of detail. So I know most of the time when you listen to programs, it's, you know, people's opinions and that sort of thing. We try really hard to make sure that anything that gets shared, you have the ability to go research and verify, because it's important. We should all be dealing in facts. We just aren't.
Yeah, so don't take somebody else's word on it. Go out and do some homework.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So, Bruce and Lyle, I don't know where we want to take this hour. Are we done with this?
Maybe, I was thinking
forget about you guys, Bill.
We should talk about what the president's doing of late to fix this amnesty situation. I know there's quite a bit of stuff on the site
about
that.
Not amnesty. What do you call it? Asylum.
Asylum, excuse
me. The other A word.
Yeah, don't mishear me. Yeah, asylum.
Yeah, you start throwing around amnesty and everybody's head explodes and they can't listen anymore.
Yeah, asylum. So maybe we could talk about that, what the president intends to do and what he has done to help curb this problem.
He has a memorandum that was sent to us, and it's posted on the website, and this is what he's going to do. It's pretty straightforward. It's to the Department of Homeland Security, and here's his action plan, and this is what needs to be done. As I was expressing and Lyle was expressing to you astutely at different points about these various sundry things, the president has always been first and foremost on protecting the border. And as we're saying, you know, the wall was a misrepresentation of all that needed to be done. And that's what the media runs with. It's this idea of asylum, this idea of comprehensive border security, this idea of having more border patrol personnel, this idea of having more judges on the border. That's what President Trump is doing. He's He's also going to have more shelters to hold people. They're doing DNA testing to determine how to differentiate a real family from people who are just bringing kids across. And then there's kids coming across that are being used for sex trafficking along with the younger girls, MS-13. This, we go into a whole slew of things. But President Trump knows all this. He's briefed on it extensively, and now he's able to act on the Immigration and Naturalization Act. And this is the memorandum that was sent to us directly from the White House. And I'll have Lyle add his...
Before he does that, I was going to... There is one part that's posted, but, you know, since we're on radio and people are listening rather than reading, possibly, I just wanted to put this one part out there because there is always a lot of... misinformation that goes out through the media that the president can't do these things and he's just doing it because he's a bigot and a hater, blah, blah, blah. But as you guys have given us to post, President Trump will use the authority granted to him by the Immigration and Nationality Act to manage and protect the integrity of our immigration system and natural sovereignty. Here's one piece. Section 212F of the Immigration and Nationality Act states plainly, and this is quoted from that, whenever the president finds the entry of any aliens or of any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interests of the United States, he may, by proclamation and for such a period as he shall deem necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate.
So he's
really broad.
And he has the right. I mean, they're all saying, oh, he can't do that. He's a dictator. No, he has the right to do that.
That doesn't make him a dictator.
That's
his job. That was there before he became president.
Right.
So it goes on. There are other really good pieces that you have provided for us here. So I hope people will go to wethepeopleradio.us, go on to the May 5th, 2019 program, and take a look at those things that are posted, because I think that's helpful to counteract some of the misinformation that we're given. So, sorry, Lyle, go ahead.
No. This is a great conversation. I hope your people will go on your site. I believe Bruce sent you these memorandum. They're not classified. They're open source. Bruce, I haven't read them. I don't know what you said. Is it the information from the press secretary on the budget breakdown?
No, it's the ability of the president to act. Chuck and I have worked on this also, as you know. And we had our information that preceded it and then follows from Paul Teller. Of course, knows what's going on at the border. He's the legislative director for President Trump. So we've been in communication for at least 12 years. He was the chief of staff for Ted Cruz. So if you understand that, if he's the chief of staff for Ted Cruz, he definitely knows what was going on the border at that time.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz knows what's definitely going on at the border. So does Cornyn. You know, and we have all these specially placed legislators and elected officials that know how to deal with it, but yet pushback is coming from all different sorts of directions that are countervailing forces that keep us from instituting a proper and fitting border security program. And that's what President Trump's been trying to do.
And Lyle,
I mean, that was part of his platform to get elected to office. And now we're coming around to it. It's close to 3 years now. That's inconceivable. You know, it's
It is pretty ridiculous. Just to clarify, too, if you were asking about a budget item, there is one a notice from the Office of the Press Secretary entitled President Donald J. Trump is calling on Congress to provide more resources to respond to the humanitarian crisis at the border. That involves a lot of cost. Very nicely detailed.
Well, I'm glad you have that, and your readers will have access to that. Again, that's not classified. But if they take the time just to skim through that, that also brings into view some of the other dimensions, the problems of this. The president is having to request immediate funding besides the wall to deal with health care matters, to deal with beds, to deal with centers I believe it's in there. It'll be the centers by which they can house these people until they can get them processed and sent back or whatever they're going to do with them. There is a whole mess of financial obligations connected to securing the border, and that's something that the American people also just don't realize. And once you begin to go down that White House document and look at the monies that the president is requesting just to handle operations, I mean, this is just day-to-day operations to address this border issue. It's not to stop it. It's just to address it.
And I know this seems, as Bruce so eloquently put, inconceivable, but we have to take another quick break. This celebration of capitalism just keeps interfering with our with our dissemination of information. But when we come back, let's tell people some of the things that are in that memo. I hate to keep alluding to something that we actually aren't. It's secret information. Stop
new
your
rules.
Stop your car, run to your computer. So we'll get into some of the cost, because the costs are very high, and that's just to run operations. I think that's important for people to know. So you're listening to We the People. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We will be back with Bruce and Dr. Lyle Rapacki in a couple of minutes.
No smoking sign. Sometimes I wish they'd tell me how justice got so blind. I wish they'd just leave me alone, 'cause I'm doing all right. You can take your change on down the road and leave me here with mine. 'Cause that ain't my America, that ain't this country's roots. You wanna slam old Uncle Sam, but I ain't letting you. I'm mad as hell and you know I still bleed red, white.
We're back with numbers for you.
Well, before we hit the numbers, one thing I'd like to point out that I can't believe wasn't a rule already was in this new proclamation is when people or when any alien who illegally enters our country will be ineligible for asylum. So these people that are jumping the border, sneaking in, then claiming asylum, that won't work anymore. You're going to have to come in through legal means in order to even be eligible.
Well, that, of course, makes us terrible haters.
I know, that makes us haters. But do you think that in itself will slow the tide of people jumping the border?
Are we actually following that?
Well, that's like an eight-part answer, because we have the human smuggling going on, and they bypass it through that, and then they get their, you know, food stamps and they get transported up to Los Angeles or Sacramento.
But they can't get asylum.
Are they allowing them to apply for asylum if they come here?
They sneak in so they don't have to go through the system.
I forgot about them. Yeah, them.
That's a larger portion that's coming in that way.
Right.
Those are the ones who can't afford to pay, you know, for the all-inclusive package to come into the United States.
So what about the
all-inclusive packages for smuggling?
So what about the folks that they, snatch out of the bushes, and then are they allowed to say, no, wait, I want asylum?
But there's only...
That's a small percentage?
Yeah, it's out of 100, it's like 12.
Oh, so it's a great rule, just isn't going to help us much.
Well, here's my point again, and I want to be perfectly clear on this, because it's always misinterpreted, and it's always, if we're, all these people are coming across and only, say, 12 out of 100, all these people, other people have to be processed. It takes time and energy to process them all.
Right.
And what are our Border Patrol and our Immigration Naturalization people doing? I mean, it's a lot of time if they're not coming through a legal port of entry. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's why...
That's what I'm talking about. ICE, then you got ATF, then you got DEA. That's law enforcement. And then you got Health and Human Services, and then the judges. The president's going to put more judges on the board, too, to help, you know, move this through and get claims processed and things of that sort. That's a whole another area. But to answer your first question, there's going to be $3.3 billion appropriated. That's the request. Health and Human Services, that goes for food, shelter, lodging, transportation for the people that are there. Doesn't mean they're coming, they're all going to get through. It just means to house them, to feed them. And that's very compassionate. That's America.
And that includes funding for 23,600 beds for unaccompanied alien children.
That is unbelievable compassion.
That is a crazy number, actually.
One of the
it's
things...
It's not including what we already have there, where there are centers where they can go to and
right.
they can, you know, play ping pong and pool and other things like that. I mean, they're not just talking about... This is just... Because this initial, what Lyle was talking about, so critical what Lyle was saying, is that we haven't seen these numbers ever. And now we're burdened, and now we're acting to even help it even more. So we got $2.8 billion going for that, you know, and that.
Just sticking
that's
with
something.
That.
And there's another, you know, they're going to allocate some more money, $250 million for additional beds.
Don't give up.
3,500 beds for the processing center. So, I mean, you have this big burden. And how do you think the Border Patrol people feel? I mean, they got to protect themselves and worry about cartels and arms smuggling and drug smuggling. Then they got to watch out for these people. Some of them are mixed in with them.
Right.
I mean, they're really pressed to do a good job, and they are. They perform outstanding work, our Border Patrol. They're great.
Well,
and
at this point,
we need more.
Based
put
on
5,000 there, so or bring the military down
moment.
There or National Guard and support them.
This was the Kentucky Derby. My money's on Bruce.
So let's make sure it's solid, 24/7 controlled and operated. Put those technologies down there that are upgraded. You know, the thermal, and we know who's coming in. They can differentiate between animal, you know, child and adult. We'll know who's out there, you know. And then we can also work on the seismic devices that, you know, if they're running, walking, where they're coming from. You know, if a drone's coming across, cartels are using drones. And Lyle knows this. He and I were September of last year talking about that. And we're really concerned about it.
Absolutely.
Not only are they transporting drugs in drones, you can get like 25 pounds of fentanyl in a drone now. You can, you know, send arms through there too. And I'm not talking about, you know, weapons that you can
yeah,
use.
Yeah, it takes two weeks to get a birthday card to another part of the state. all right.
So, and what I'm really concerned about, I'll say one more thing, I'll take over. What I'm really concerned about is that the United States has grown in stature and power. We have a lot of people now, and we're all from different parts of the country, but we have to be very concerned about what's happening on the border. And most people don't know if you're in, you know, let me talk about Illinois or Nebraska, upper part of the United States, it's two-thirds of our country. Don't have to deal with it. If they had to deal with it and understand the seriousness of this matter, it's the humanitarian crisis we're addressing in this particular President Trump executive order memorandum to the Department of Homeland Security. But it goes way beyond that. And that's what Lyle and I are trying to convey. And I'll turn the floor over to the senator from Texas.
Lyle, you're on.
Lyle, it's all you, man.
I was taking a nap. A couple of things. One, Bruce is correct that the upper part of the United States really isn't attuned, but they're becoming so because they are the illegals are working their way throughout the United States. Law enforcement in Vermont and Maine, think about that for a second, are now having to deal with illegal issues, Islamic issues, in small communities in Vermont and Maine.
Mm-hmm.
They've never had to deal with stuff like that, and they're now having to deal with it. And not only dealing with those subcultures, not said it the right way, in my opinion, but also the illegality of them being in the United States and in Vermont and Maine. So this is a whole new dilemma for them. In regards to the children, one of the things that the president is catching up on, and we're playing catch-up here, and he's doing a great job, but it's catch-up. It is known that the children would come up, they would be caught, and then they would be, quote-unquote, sent back to their parents, which means the parent is in Mexico, Honduras, wherever. The child would then be sent back, only to reappear a couple of weeks later with a new set of parents or whomever. The whole idea here is using children to bring up people under the auspices, well, this is my parent or this is my uncle, whatever. So what the president has done just in the last couple of weeks, and Bruce alluded to it in the last hour, is the beginning of DNA testing. So you have a child and an adult. They're being tested to see if they're related. If not, then there's different actions that will be taken. But that's a step in the right direction. Is it late? Yes, it's late. This has been going on for years, but he is doing the best he can to catch up to a runaway train. The beds just for these unaccompanied children, 23,600. That should tell you something. The dollar amounts here, the billions of dollars just to support the operations. We're not talking about the wall. We're talking about day-to-day operations. And once the American people really begin to get a handle on what this is costing, it is astronomical. Maybe they'll get upset, and maybe they'll start making, quote-unquote, some demands. And I use that word very carefully, judiciously, and hesitantly, because I don't think people should be demanding. I think they should be making requests, being assertive. But I think we've come to a point where our nation is under assault. We've got people in Congress who despise the United States of America. To me, that is just, it's hard to still get my hands wrapped around. But they despise us, and yet they're serving in the highest offices in Congress and Senate.
And people have elected them and put them there, and some of those people have been there more than one term.
Absolutely.
So let's just like make sense of that.
So I think if programs like yours and if programs all across this nation, be it written platform or radio platform or alternative YouTube or whatever is out there, if they could start putting out these facts and getting the people to really grasp what's taking place, that might make a difference, because we're really under an assault that shows no ending.
And that's a really great point. I mean, these are tax dollars, folks. I mean, you complain about how much you pay in taxes,
yes,
and we're talking about billions of dollars being spent just to maintain what's here now.
Well, because the request here is $4.5 billion to address the immediate humanitarian crisis on the southern border.
Yes.
This isn't building a wall. This isn't doing those things.
Right.
So $2.8 billion going to increase health and human services capacity for unaccompanied alien children.
Well, and
then we've got... Let me finish, because we keep cutting it up. Department of Homeland Security will get $273 million to stand up, operate, and secure processing centers on the border, increasing their capacity by 3,500 beds. $1.1 billion going to border operations to combat human smuggling and human trafficking. $178 million used to fund mission support, including $10 million to improve migrant processing by upgrading information technology systems. None of that $4.5 billion that has been requested is building a wall. It's
None
all
of it.
Just dealing with the influx
right.
of humanity
and that's,
across
that's
the border.
And that's to handle what's here. 500,000, and there's going to be another 500,000 before the end of the year.
Exactly. Okay, so that's all on the site, and you can go check that out, but we've got to take a really fast break, and we'll be right back to hear what Bruce was telling us in the background that we're sorry we just faded out. So all of that can be found at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Who's to say I can't do everything? Well, I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find
Things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with everyone. We'll sing it.
And well, yes, it is upside down.
It is.
So, I should have said something at the very beginning, but, you know, a lot of times when we have two people on the phone at the same time, they can't hear each other and they can't hear us, which is, you probably figured that out by now, though. I think everyone probably already knows this, and I'm overstating the obvious, but I thought I should put that out there.
That, I can hear it loud today.
That sometimes the ability for us to thread our discussions amongst ourselves is difficult. So, Lyle, you were trying to tell us something. Did you already do that, or?
I think I did.
Speak now or forever hold your peace, man.
Let me.
We can talk forever about these topics.
You screwed yourself, Lyle.
I can hear Lyle speaking, by the way.
Oh, you can?
Okay. Well, the funding apparatus that you were sent, that Bruce sent you from the White House.
Oh yeah.
What's also critical about that is in June, the Department of Health Services and a number of these others, Department of Homeland Security, will run out of monies. And if they do, and they don't get this supplemental help just to deal with day-to-day operations, they have to cease doing the day-to-day operations. What will that do? We have a crisis here that really nobody wants to talk about, and they still aren't. The president is doing what he can, but what I would like to see, and maybe it will happen, is he does a national address from the Oval outlining in almost seventh grade language. I don't mean that to be funny, but really simple terms.
No, true. I think you're right.
What's really going on? And I think if the people of the United States really understood we are under attack, this is not just about people coming up here because they want a better life.
We need it in fourth grade language. How's he going to do that if he does seventh grade language?
That's true. That's a good point.
Well, what you're saying about shutting down operations, that really can't even be an option. I mean, when you have tens of thousands of people you're taking care of, you can't just walk in and say, "Up, we're out of money, folks. Open the doors, let them go." I mean, that's not even an option.
Bill, the Democrat Congress holds the purse strings.
Yeah.
And their point of view is, why are we having to take care of them at the border? Just let them in.
Right.
Yeah.
They see all this as silly. And see, the other part that's detailed on here that I think, honestly, if more people could read this May 1st memo, I think this would make sense to them, because the segment under urgent crisis at the border, we're experiencing an overwhelming surge of migrants flooding our border, many of whom are minors and families who require extensive care. And kind of down in the information there, it says that this shift in demographics has stressed a system that was mainly designed for single adults. See, that's a huge change, and that absolutely blows the budget up on this whole deal.
Well, you figure these kids have made this arduous trek across the desert to come across the border. They're not in good health, and then you put them in some kind of a detention center. Medically speaking, you've got to spend a ton of money taking care of them before you can even process them. I mean, you're spending money on medical care.
And I realize this is a tiny rabbit trail, but I just am struck by these reports that, you know, measles has broken out and all these other crazy childhood diseases. And the only people they can talk about are those people who didn't vaccinate their children. I'm like, oh, couldn't be the hundreds of thousands of migrants that come from countries that don't have vaccinations. Couldn't be them, could it?
No.
Well, as you know, I submitted to the Trump administration 2 years ago a restricted briefing, which has since become unrestricted, dealing with the pending health crisis at the border. Dr. Carson received it, so did senior White House people, because it talked about, and this was two and a half years ago, it talked about at that time, and you all since got a copy of it, because I think I sent it at one of the radio shows we did a couple of months back.
Right.
So that very report, which you still put up on your website, people can have, it's not restricted any longer. The problems outlined in that report are extremely real, and they are happening right now. What hasn't been released, what hasn't really been publicized, are the beginnings of skin diseases, fungal infections, bacterial infections, intestinal infections that that American medicine really doesn't know how to address. And this is very concerning, very alarming.
And that's all being released into the public.
That's correct. And when you take the numbers that are just staggering as they work their way into Tijuana or other places just contingent with the border, and they begin to conjugate there, when you're talking 10,000, 7,000 in an area.
And people in Tijuana were protesting because they were coming down with diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Remember
correct.
That?
That's
they
correct.
They were protesting in the streets that they didn't want them to stay in Tijuana. There's a larger concern in health, which Lyle's talking about. I remember, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, maybe Lyle can allude to that, but it's we had whooping cough in the United States. It struck all of Chicago, and it was all over the United States. And how does that happen? I mean, how does whooping cough exist when it was basically eradicated before? Those are the kind of things. And imagine the downtime for parents taking their kids out of school, the schools themselves closing down, the teachers. That's could be billions and billions of dollars.
Well, then you also
for a whooping cough, not considering measles or any other thing that's, you know, how we're trying to have proper and fitting safety and security concerns for our health of our country. That's a national security problem also.
Well, you have all the border patrol people, thousands of people that work for our government trying to control this situation, all being exposed to those.
Yeah, they all go home.
They all go home. They
go to the grocery store.
Yeah, I mean,
we were helping.
Can't forget about them
with the kind of gels and gloves, and they were really concerned themselves. You don't hear about that in the news.
Nope.
I mean, there's certain kinds of gloves you have to use now and gels you put on to clean yourself up before you go home to your families.
Yeah, that's sad.
Crazy.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, dear. Don't kiss me now. I'll be right back.
Yeah, don't touch me. But, people who work in hospitals, regular hospitals, have known, nurses and things, and they don't wear their shoes from work in their house. It's pretty common that they have work shoes.
Yeah, but they're suited up. I mean, they have medical gear on. They have gloves on. They have,
but they know that they're in a super high germ environment, and so they don't just come home and bring all that. If they don't wear, some kind of covering of their clothes, if they're just walking around.
But you don't see the Border Patrol people wearing hazmat suits when they're taking care of
them.
No, but
they really need them.
They do. It's... I don't know what the answer is.
Hey, so what's the likelihood they're going to get this money that they've requested, just out of curiosity, now that we've identified they need it?
Well, that's they're talking about closer to that, the next 2 weeks. So we'll see how the allocations are going. They're also looking at the infrastructure program that was up before the Mueller case came into vogue to kill the infrastructure positive vibe on it. That was at the beginning of the week. Then the Mueller bar hearing
circus
was on Wednesday, and then the one that didn't happen was on Thursday. So
all that comes first.
These important budgetary concerns that need to be addressed. Each one of them is critical for national security interest. And one thing I wanted to also say is to our friends in Europe and Ukraine and Africa, hello, and you're also addressing these same problems. We have that problem in Libya where people are trying to come across to Europe. We have the problems with the refugees that came from Syria and Iraq. There was the most since World War II. and they're dealing with that the same way we're dealing with it. So however your countries are dealing, you got to be very active with your councilmen, your elected officials, and make sure that you're protecting your own citizens first, because if the people aren't assimilating and they're living in conclaves, that breeds that kind of germs we're talking about here, those diseases, as well as, you know, how they want to have no-go zone. So, fortunately, we don't have any no-go zones in the United States. There are places, you know, that are dangerous, but, I mean, on the Arizona border there, but there are areas that we need to address ourselves. But in terms of France and countries like Germany, where Merkel is having problems, and Brexit, you know, their issues are the same as ours. We're worried about our individual citizens. We're worried about our individual sovereignty, our individual rights, freedoms.
And just so people kind of know what that is, if that's an unfamiliar term for you, a no-go zone means that you're not, you literally are not allowed to go there.
Yeah, it's your country, but you can't go there because we've given it away.
We covered this literally years ago in London. The Islamic population there had areas that they wouldn't allow the police, they wouldn't allow the citizenry. People were literally not allowed to go in those areas, otherwise they would be victimized. And
they could be, and they're also using their Sharia law to run it.
Lots of bad things happened.
British common law.
But they wouldn't let the citizens go there. They wouldn't let the police go there. They had carved themselves out their own their own area, and they were running their own laws. It's like, I don't know
why. That's not the kind of assimilation we were thinking
about.
Yeah,
I don't know why nobody was alarmed about that, but it's gotten worse from there, and Paris is the same problem. So really quick break, our last break, and we'll come back with our guests, Bruce Moran and Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. I think President Trump should play that at his rallies. First time I heard that, I hadn't heard that song in a long time, and I came across that clip, and I was like, oh, it's like a perfect theme song for this administration. Because, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of, you know, problems they throw at them, they just keep moving forward.
Keep moving forward.
I mean, honestly, lesser people would just have been reduced to quivering masses of jello by now.
Yeah, I want to thank President Trump for sticking this out. Following through on the programs he promised. He's carrying forth on his promises. Foreign policy, domestic policy, and the economy's booming. As you know, there's 3.2%, you know, growth, and more jobs are created across the board. We are moving economically in our country, and I think that recovery, those insights from a person who's worked in the business and now, you know, instituting certain kinds of programs in the government with trade policy and not saying yes to everybody all the time and letting them have their way with our NATO. Now they're paying their fair share, you know, and things of that sort. Working with Korea, with President Kim, and making sure we're heading on a denuclearization process. We're moving. That's the first time President Kim had even offered to talk to somebody. So now we have historical making landmark decisions by President Trump. Let's take care of our border, protect our own citizens.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's brought in 100 judges. They just hit the 100 mark. So that is something that has gotten I think I'd be safe to say, like Zero Press.
Zero Press.
You have to go kind of look for that. But they're doing great things for the judiciary, regardless of all the rest of this, you know, circus act that's going on. But Bill and I were talking on the break, and I guess it doesn't really require commentary because I think we're all on the same page. But it should be said that really our, you know, our hearts go out to these folks that have to work on the border. You know, between the diseases and the crime and the danger and the lack of funding and all the issues that go on and the fact that they're demonized pretty much nonstop in the media, these guys have, honestly, probably the most thankless job out there.
Very thankless.
And high risk in lots of areas.
Yeah, I mean, risk to themselves, their families, their communities.
Anyway,
at some point, you got to wonder, is it worth it?
Is it worth it? Yeah, at what point? I mean, Bruce, you know, you're in Chicago. I mean, how do they get new policemen to go there? Every time I hear a story about your town, I always wonder, who says, gosh, I think I want to grow up and be a policeman in Chicago. God love them that somebody still wants to do the job.
It's always look both ways before shooting, you know.
Spoken as a true native. It's true, though. So, you know, I mean, we need to give credit to the folks out there who actually do these things and are willing.
I talk to them all the time, and I give them praise on the streets. I say, thank you for your service every time I see them.
No kidding.
Yeah, I always do. I mean, I don't. If they're coming in and checking on something at a 7-Eleven, or they're getting something to eat, I'm always saying something to them because it's a thankless job. We need more enforcement. We need more forensics. We need more people to help support the police. We need every citizen to step up, too, to help the police. You can't be living in your residence and thinking everybody's going to do things for you. You have to step up yourself.
Right.
Take control of your own environment.
Well, same too with our border mess. I mean, it's time for the people who live in areas that are not on the border to be familiar. Where does your representative, state representatives, congressional representatives, where are they on this issue? What are they supporting? What kind of, you know, problem are they causing?
Local representation is always where it starts.
And are they part of the solution or not?
Yeah, you've got to get people in there that are supporting the agencies.
The issue, we're all together as one, but people aren't thinking that way anymore.
No.
It's the urbanization, it's the rural areas, everybody's living a little differently, everybody has a different idealistic view of how things are.
Well, when the no-go zone comes to your town, I do believe the tribalism will fade away and people start...
I don't know that... And I always thought that, you know, people won't really act until it affects them. But you look at San Francisco. I mean, it's affecting those
Los
people
Angeles.
In a big, big way. And they're still electing these people to make their city a free zone for illegals and drugs and homeless and... You know,
I mean, I had a professor tell me he was walking down the street of San Francisco. I don't know if I told you guys this or not. This was like a month and a half ago, I guess. And he's just walking down the street, broad daylight, and had two, like, whacked out drug users chasing him with hypodermic needles trying to stab him. He was just walking.
Yeah.
You know, he's there on a project for the Israeli consulate. He goes, I'm counting the minutes till I get to get out of here. In June, he goes, place is totally crazy.
Welcome to America.
So,
let's let Lyle, we're getting towards the end. Let's let Lyle have some thoughts on this.
You go, Lyle.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what I'd like to suggest to Bill and you, Aaron? Maybe you could post questions or put it in such a way that your readers could ask questions. What would they like to know about the border? And we could do a future show answering those questions.
That's a fun idea.
Yeah, just I don't care where they're coming from, but let them post their questions to you or send them to you and then send them to Bruce or me so we can at least prepare and give them the right answers. And then let's all work off the same script.
Yeah.
You all have the questions. We have the questions and the answers. And let's do it that way. So the people can begin to ask their questions, no matter how elementary or how simple they may, well, that's the same thing, how elementary or uninformed they may be. Because, see, most Americans, really, it's not hitting them yet.
Right.
The dollar amounts, the crime, the health matters, all the things we've been discussing have not really come to their front door. And when it does, it's almost too late.
And because it's a terrible undercurrent that's going on that's saying, oh, you've probably heard this, but that's a lie. You probably heard this, oh, that's a lie. So people don't know.
Have you guys write out something and get it out everywhere you can, emails and whatever, and get the questions into you, and then let's get together again and let's answer their questions.
Yeah, that'd be fun, like a border town hall.
That's correct.
I like it. I like it. I think that's a great idea.
Maybe $2 next time on the show.
$1.96. And no Starbucks card, because we hate them.
I think it's a range, and we get
too.
A cut on the buffet, though, you know that.
It's true. Well, I think that, I don't think that there's a quick fix for this, obviously. So this isn't one of those things that, well, it's a good thing we talked about it. Now we can put it up on the shelf. And I'm kind of guessing I know the answer, but with 20, who the heck knows how many people are running for president on the Democratic side, but 20 some odd people all running, and they're obviously all opposing the president who ran on border security. My guess is that none of those people are coming out to say that we need to secure the border. Is that pretty safe guess?
We'll see what some of the more moderates will start positioning themselves. You know, we have a couple of moderates that are just entering the picture, so I don't know. It's still young.
Sleepy Joe could screw up and say something, actually. He might accidentally support border security.
I don't mention names because I'm working on national security. I hope they do the right thing.
Well, we didn't really. We just said Sleepy Joe. That could be almost anybody named Joe. Sleepy.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank people at the Heritage Foundation who we work with. Hudson, Cato, our reports from the RAN to Homeland Security. Thank Lyle for always being on top of the intelligence, us working together, and Chuck and other people who I can't mention. They're part of our team, and we're always working to help support our country. God bless you all. God bless you for your fine work.
Yeah, we really appreciate you guys getting all this information to us, because, honestly, it's out there, but it isn't easy.
Yeah. I mean, it is. And Bruce, you're absolutely right. There are tons of people and tons of resources out there working on this issue, but we've got to get some funding, and we've got to get some forward movement on it. Without the money to do it, it's unfortunately a lot of
talk. It's
going to
be a total loss.
Yeah.
So our guests today have been Bruce Moran. He is with Security Solutions Technologies. And Dr. Lyle Rapacki from Sentinel Intelligence Services there in Texas. And we've got all of the information about our guests and all of the different shows we've done with them, too, lots of different topics we've discussed with both these guys. You can find that all at wethepeopleradio.us. We hope you have a great rest of your day. And we'll be back with you next week.
Thanks for
a bunch,
coming on, guys. You bet.
Thanks, you guys.
Another promise, another scene, another a package like to keep us trapped in grief.